short. So pay attention, can you afford? Everyday conversation, decision making, breakdown, point of views, of course. Let's go. He say, she say, see how we play. Real life issues, hit the replay. Okay. Debate in politics, right. What sport you profit with? Today's world news, food for thought, so come get a plate. Pull up.
Yes, all right, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome y'all to another episode of the Daily Dinosaur Podcast. As always, it is your host, Martin. Go Chiefs. I am joined by my co-hosts, Marlon.
How you doing?
Ballhead and Wonder. How you doing?
Ballhead and Wonder. Justin Jayhawk.
But we have a special guest this week. We're joined by singer-songwriter, Mr. Mecca. Mecca.
Yeah.
Welcome.
What's good, sir?
How you doing?
I'm good. How y'all feeling?
I'm a little vexed.
What you say?
He said, I'm a little vexed. My team.
Vexed about what?
My team that I'm rooting for just lost.
Yeah, I can't help you that.
$5 in free money.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry. It happens, though. You live. You. Better days are coming, my brother. It's Sunday.
There you go. Talking.
There you go. You know?
Yes, sir. But man, how you doing, Mecca? How you been?
I'm good. Today is good. I shot a video today with the band I sing with, the Brazzaholics. So that was good. Went to the second line, went to church. So yeah, it's good.
What's up, man? How long you been singing anyway?
I guess you could say since I was small. But professionally, I give myself the age of around the age of 26. So as you may or may not know, I worked in news for about 6 years. I worked at WBE Fox 8 for 6 years as a writer. And during the end of my stint at Fox 8, I was kind of delving into getting more, I guess, artsy. So I was going on auditions and I was doing more gigs and kind of like a catalyst for that situation. Two things. I went for an audition with this movie director, David Talbert, and it was a workshop and you got to interview with him and audition with him after. And I did kind of like some singing during the workshop. And when I went in for my audition, I did my monologue. I thought I was Denzel, you know, in the King Kong, they got shit on me. And then he was like, your acting is horrible, but sing a song. So I sang something and he was like, man, you're one of the greatest voices I've ever heard. So went to the audition in New York with David Talbert, came back home, started doing open mics or whatever. And then me and Amal, y'all friend, me and Amal went to a concert, a Kanye concert in Houston. And we both had to work the next day. But during the Kanye concert, at the end of the concert, he like turns down the lights and he was like, this is for all the dreamers. And I was like, okay. He's like, follow your dreams, go up your passions, da 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 da. And after that concert, and Amal talks about this all the time, I turned in my 2 weeks that Monday. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but this job ain't it. And we're going to make it work. So it didn't exactly turn out like that. I was a little broke for a little while. And I ended up teaching. I'm still teaching. That's my day job until, you know, this music career really kicks off. But that's kind of like how we got really into the music scene. So, yeah.
So as far as the jazz market, How did that, because I know you said it started somewhere else and it's led to this now. How did you get involved with that and how did that become what it is? Because it's a vibe. I mean, because that was my first time there.
Oh, he's the first time?
No, that was my first time.
Have y'all been to the jazz market before?
I know. I had never been.
Anybody else?
I've been a couple times, yeah.
Okay. So the jazz market started off at Barrett's. Not even say the jazz market. So the jam that kind of turned into what the jazz market is, I don't even want to say that. But the jazz market, let me just say there was a jam at Barrett's on Washington Avenue where Cool Nasty the band was the band and this guy L.A. Love was the host. It actually got real popping over there. People like Luke James, Lucky Day, the beginnings of Tank, Tarania Ball, if I'm saying it right, I hope I'm saying it right. All of them kind of like gathered over there and it became a thing of a noise issue with the community, the neighbors. So they complained about the noise. So at that time, the band decided that they wanted to move to another venue to kind of keep what they had going. So I think they started off having one-offs like on Freshman Street, and then there was one-offs on like, what's that place on St. Bernard that like all the hippie people congregate? Po' Boys. They tried to do that Po' Boys.
Oh, and okay.
And eventually they landed at the Jazz Market without the old host, Elliot, who had kind of like started the whole thing. So Cool Nasty got to the Jazz Market and it became a vibe. So I think about, I want to say a year, but let's just say for some time, because I don't know the exact time, they hosted the jam there and it was a vibe. It was a real vibe. And I don't know, it was cool. And they ended up adding in a host. I'm trying to stay politically correct. They added a host. And it was a vibe with that host. Cool Nasty decided later on along their journey to move to LA. They moved to LA. That particular host stayed there and they kind of formed a new band. But it really, it was still a vibe-ish, but it wasn't the same vibe. So COVID kind of killed the situation. They tried to bring it back with another host, Josh Kegler. Really didn't work out. They tried other things to do, but it really didn't kind of like fizzle out to be anything. So Justin has come to some of my parties. I usually have like house parties that kind of have grown in the last couple of years. So the now general manager of the Jazz Market reached out to me and he was like, hey, came to my one-on parties. I'm like, this is a vibe. I think you should try to create or do something with the jam that used to happen on Wednesday nights. So I kind of took that and ran with it. And my vision for the jam on Wednesday nights is, even though it kind of is reflective of what happened in the past, it's something new. And we want to incorporate like culture bits. We want to really people to get ingrained and engulfed in what it is in New Orleans and why it's important to, I guess, resurrect a city of so much music, culture, inspiration, yeah, all those kind of things. So, yes, we are honoring what was, but we're most are looking to the future of the Jazz Market. So it's been a vibe, mostly every Wednesday night, but you can follow at Jam Session, J-A-M-M, in Sessions on Instagram to find out the calendar when we actually have events. It's mostly every Wednesday, but, you know, just stay tuned and abreast by looking at our Instagram as well, sign up to our email list.
Cool.
Absolutely.
So what's got you so passionate about music? Where does that passion come from?
I feel like I'm going back to the that old Sister Act quote when she was like, if you wake up in the morning, all you can think about is singing, then you're a singer. So two things that drive my passion would definitely be, well, we talked about it with, for full disclosure, Justin was kind of my quasi-manager for a while. So during that time when I first started singing, we were trying to think, because my name on Instagram was Mechanola. So we were trying to think about how can we incorporate singing, but also my journalistic skills and other things that I do. So we came up with Notes because it also incorporates music and also incorporates singing and, I mean, writing, what I do. So I think those two things are what I'm passionate about the most. Obviously, singing is the more, well, depending on who you talk to, is the more known thing, but I'm also very passionate about journalism. And I'm a member, I'm actually on the e-board, the executive board of the New Orleans Association of Black Journalists.
So let's touch on some journalism, man. Let them know what you do on the side with your journalism, if you're comfortable.
Oh, so I'm basically a freelancer now. I am a writer for Louisiana Weekly. I am a content manager for the blog and media company Neutral Grounds. And you can see I've done all kind of freelance gigs. I wrote for The Griot for a little bit. I did some work with Yahoo News. I think some of my work has been featured on CNN. So, I definitely am a journalist at heart, and I'm here for journalism, not blogging. Real journalism with real facts and real news is like passion of mine as well.
So speak to that. You kind of went viral last week about the Yakameen challenge. So as of right now, who is the best Yakameen so far?
I kind of got roasted for that because I went to the Manchu. I know. It was the only place open on a Sunday night. Nobody wants to talk about the fact. But anyways, I haven't went around to all of them, but the Yakameen House on Tulane and Broad was close to Tulane and Broad. It's right behind the. They're pretty good. They're about my number one right now.
Yeah, they're talking about the Yakamine Man too. I've heard of him. I've never been to his, but if I said his is pretty good too, so I gotta try that one.
And what is Yakamine for those who might not know what it is? I'm not speaking for myself. I'm just, our audience.
Oh,
It's
Yakamine is a
noodles. Noodles, okay. Noodles and
is a
soup.
new yeah, New Orleans soup, based out of either soy sauce or, oh damn, can somebody say that word? Because I'm gonna mess it up. Worcestershire.
Worcestershire. All right, so
Worcestershire.
as a person with a cooking background, Yakamine is a combination of
There you
Asian and
go.
African influence.
Come on, man, with the facts. But
Well,
even
there you
if you look
go.
at the menu at one of my favorite restaurants is Merrill. It is very, for lack of better words, ignorant. Like
Yeah.
they have fried turkey necks. What kind of fine dining restaurant got fried turkey necks, bro?
Yeah.
So
New
yeah,
Orleans.
it's yeah. But
They have
yeah, and it's the
capitalized on
Emeril
it.
Lagasse restaurant, rated highly. So, definitely the food that we eat is becoming on a higher stage.
Oh yeah. I mean, greens. People didn't eat greens like that. Greens was pulled out of gardens and fields, and it was easy, and it grew like weeds. And then people could take that and turn it into something.
I remember cleaning greens with my grandpa
Oh
on
my
Saturday morning.
God.
Every leaf. Oh my God. Yeah. I
The
hated
dirt,
that.
like the dirt would get into your fingers and get into your
It's not the
nails.
dirt, it's the bugs.
Oh,
Oh,
the bugs never really bothered me. It was getting like the way you have to wash your hands after it was over with. I
nah.
could
I am definitely pursuing more auditions in the musical field, and also want to kind of like stretch on, I guess stretch out on to acting. So I did like a small play in New Orleans a couple of years ago, and that play is supposed to be coming back for Wedding Party. So yeah.
You're Brandon, right?
I have what?
You're Brandon. That was your role, the shy guy.
Yes. Oh, you did your research. All right.
Little bit, not too
Come on,
much.
research. I like it.
Yeah, man. But to kind of piggyback off of that, you performed at Jazz Fest, the West Bank Heritage Festival, the Fried Chicken Festival, House of Blues, Zulu Lundi Gras. Of all
It's
the places
everywhere.
you performed, all those places, which one meant more to you?
Which one meant more? I hate to cop out and say all of them are special in their own special way, but they kind of are. I think I would say that. Like,
All of them.
West Bank Fest was especially cool this year because I not only performed, I emceed the West Bank Fest this year. So that was really cool. It was my first time kind of like stepping into that space, especially at that magnitude. I mean, I got to introduce Juvenile, so that was pretty cool. So I think in that aspect, if I had to recap like last year, the West Bank Fest was like the, 'cause like, dang, it was my first time hosting a festival and it was a big festival. And, to get to introduce and meet one of the people who is like plays in the soundtrack of my life. That was an awesome experience.
So, Mecca, we saw you on the promotion. Well, I saw you rather because it's my show. I watch it every year. I saw you on the promo for The Voice. That's New Orleans doing big things. You got to tell us about that, or what can you tell us about that?
So it was just a small clip of me on the on that promotion, but yeah, I guess the cat's out of the bag. I am on the next season of The Voice. I can't say too much about it, but be tuned in. It comes out early in, it should be early March. I'm not on the premiere, but early in late February, early March, you'll see an episode with me on The Voice. So check it out.
Hey man, that's what's up. I look forward to watching you on there. I don't know who the are the judges the same from last year? Can
The judges are a little different. It is Chance the Rapper, Reba McEntire, this group Dan and Shay, and John Legend.
Okay. So is it John? Is that where we want to go?
Gotta wait and see.
All right. I'm not gonna press too much. So, as far as like things in the city, I know you said you're teaching right now. Do you incorporate your music in the teaching? Are you teaching music, or is it like you're working in a different department?
So I teach a fine arts survey class, which
Okay.
I feel like traditionally is really boring, but how I'm big about bringing culture into the classroom. So I use the curriculum that's kind of like given to me, and I add a New Orleans spin on it. So right now we are studying in kind of like through the guise of Fine Arts Survey, New Orleans culture and the history of jazz and like the history of second lines and parades. Cause one of the biggest things as a New Orleanian growing up, especially now being elevated to like a culture bearer, I don't even want to give myself that title, but you get asked questions, and some of the questions I couldn't answer. Like a simple question, like "What is a second line?" I'll be like, well, you know, people gather, and they do their thing. Well, how did it start? So
see, what happened those was, questions. It was a while back,
right? So those questions now I'm able to answer. I'm able to say that you know some of the beginning roots of a second line come from the Emancipation Jubilee that happened in the late 1800s. And from there, there was a parade that happened, and it was the first time free people of color were able to kind of like join that caravan into the city. And that causes, and that is why we have things called second line. And even the name second line is kind of like representative of that, because even now, a funeral procession or the people being honored, that's the first line. And the people following along with the band is the second line. So now I can explain it, but a couple years ago, I couldn't. I'd be like, you know, it's people do their thing. I don't know. So, yeah. So I want my students to be able to answer questions like that. I want them to know names like Louis Armstrong, Buddy Bolden, Fats Domino, people who are so iconic, legendary in the city of New Orleans, but we don't talk about that much anymore.
Right.
So, this is my final question for you, man. Do you have like a ritual you do before every performance? Like, do you say a prayer? Like, do you just do something before you actually go on stage to perform?
So, I wouldn't say it's a ritual. I try to do vocal warm-ups. But one thing I do try to do is I try to, especially like a big performance, I try to shut down. So I put my phone on do not disturb. I'm not answering my phone 2 hours before the show. I'm kind of just focusing on what I need to do, what I need to prepare on, or just focusing honestly on being in the moment. So that's one thing I do. I try to like shut out outside noise. So like, this was so interesting. So when we did a big reset for the jazz market, for Thanksgiving weekend, there was a lot of controversy surrounding that situation. And I didn't know about it because I was on social media. So like one of the dudes with the biggest beefs with the jazz market and me being the host, because the old host wasn't the host, I dapped him up. I was like, "Hey, what's up, bro? What's going on?" I had no idea he had been talking shit about me online. But I mean, that's what I do to kind of like stay in the moment. Because sometimes you can get a phone text, you can get a call that'll like kind of like throw off your performance. So just to stay in the zone, I just like the zone up.
What's up, man? But yeah, man, thank you again for taking time out of your day to join us and give us your words of wisdom and hearing your story, man. Definitely inspirational and you're a cultural icon, definitely.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. Thank you so much for having me. Sorry it took so long. But yeah, I appreciate this opportunity. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Where can people follow you? Where can we catch your performances?
You can follow me at Mecca Notes, MECCA Notes, NOTES, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm trying to plug up my TikTok. And my website should be up soon as well, MeccaNotes.com.
Awesome. And then we're going to be checking you out in the spring on The Voice.
Oh, yeah. So in the spring, I'll be doing French Quarter Fest, Jazz Fest. At least those two, French Quarter Fest, Jazz Fest, and then mostly every Wednesday, you can check me out at the Jazz Market at Jam Sessions, Jam In Sessions. So you can follow us at JAMM In Session on Instagram. So I'm hosting that. I'm not singing all night. I might sing one or two songs, but you can come check out me and the talent in New Orleans, because we're trying to create that space to be a space for artists to grow, connect, and learn at the Jazz Market. So, yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, look, once again, we appreciate it, sir. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for making the time. And we just salute you, and we'll absolutely continue to support you along your journey.
Man, I appreciate y'all. Thank y'all.
Hey, not a problem.
All right, peace.
Peace.
And that's another episode. Give us a like and follow on Facebook and Instagram at Day Late Dollar Show Podcast. And listen to us wherever you listen to your podcasts on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and more.